isn't it awesome to know that we can come to God and He's always full? He always has everything. He's never on half empty. If we have a need, He always has more than enough. I know many of us, we've been in relationships or, you know, with our friends or our spouses or family members, and it seems to be those times when we're having a weak day and we wish that that person next to us could make up the difference for when we're feeling weak. But indefinitely what tends to happen, they're weak too. So then we pull on them and, I need something from you. And they're like, but I need something from you. And then before you know it, you're pulling at each other. Ah, you're not meeting my needs. I'm not meeting your needs. And then it becomes a feeling of more emptiness, right? But the cool part about God is that He's never not full. He's always full. And the more we can learn to come to Him, to receive everything that He has at all times, at any point in time, the more we can learn just to receive from Him in His fullness, then the more then we can just be filled up to overflowing ourselves. It'll never happen within ourselves. We can't listen to the Disney movies that say, just look within yourself and you can be all that you can be. It makes a great movie, but it doesn't work in real life. We have to look to Him, because in ourselves we don't have it all. Nor can we listen to the pop music culture that says, find it in this girl or this guy. They're going to meet all your needs. No, they won't. It only can come through Him. And the more we get to that place, then we can actually experience the reality of this dichotomy that Paul speaks about, that when I'm weak, then I am strong. When I'm poor, then I'm rich. How in the world can something like that happen? Well, it's because we have God, who is always strong, always rich, always available, always overflowing, always everything, all the time, and we can come to Him. Isn't that great? Then we can actually get to the point then where we can boast in our weakness. I'm weak. Yes! God, you're strong. I'm feeling this. That just means I'm a candidate for being filled up. Praise the Lord. I would rather boast than in my weakness. Isn't that awesome? I love that about God. He's always available. He's always full. He's always there just to fill us up in whatever situation, as long as we just say, here I am. Lay ourselves down. Go after Him. So, Father, we thank You today. We thank You, God, that You are ever faithful. You are ever present. You are ever full. You're ever real. You're here, God, just to speak to us, to meet with us, to minister to us, to love us. So, God, how can we not just pour that back out on You? How can we not just thank You? How can we not give You our lives? How can we not give You everything? God, You love us so much that we can receive so much from You today, God. May we put down the barriers, Lord, to allowing that to happen. Father, may we put down our own strength. May we put down those parts of us inside of us that say, I can do this, I can get through this, I can make this happen, I can make this work. God, and let us just be real and say, I can't. Your word says, without You, I can do nothing, zero, zip, zilch. I can't do anything without You. But Father, with You, nothing's impossible, because we can receive from the vine. We can receive from You. So this morning, God, we just open our hearts even more. We open up even fuller. God, we bring to the weakness that we have to You with anticipation and excitement, God, that You're going to fill us up to overflowing. Whatever that looks like, whatever that sounds like, whatever that feels like, we know it's good because you're always good. So we thank you today, God, for your faithfulness to us. We thank you, God, for your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name.
Sweet. We'll release the children to Kingdom Land. We're going to use our Bibles right away and go to Romans 8. So if you need a Bible, we have them up here. Or you have a phone, or an iPad, or Android, or paper Bible. Romans 8, 31. If I were you, I would stay after and just read all of Romans 8. Just go ahead. Feel free. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's just go to the world with that. Skip church. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. The Message. I don't know. They don't have verse numbers. I didn't look this up ahead of time. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even point a finger? The one who died for us, who raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, nor hard times, nor hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying, threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Powerful passage. We were just to take this passage that God's on our side, and we are more than conquerors. If we trusted in Christ's power within us, we would take the world and Jesus would be back here. There wouldn't be a problem. We wouldn't have the evil raging at the extent that it's raging. We'd just take over the world. So there is something that can keep us from the love of God, though. And that is, you can separate yourself. A little or a lot. There are many people that enjoy the love of God that want to be conquerors, that want God to be for them, not against them. They say it. You can meet them on the streets. You can meet them in the stores. You can meet them in your families, among your friends. Yes, I want Jesus to do stuff for me. I want Jesus in my back pocket. When I need him, pull him out like MasterCard. Plug him in whatever problem. Aha! He solves it. When he's done, put it back in my wallet for next time. But that's not the way it's supposed to work. That's not how we become conquerors, more than conquerors. Some people think if they have just a little bit of Jesus, good enough. A little dab will do you. It doesn't do you. It makes it worse. When people have a little bit of Jesus, they think they have enough of Jesus. And then they go, why isn't Jesus helping me? Why isn't this situation changing? Why isn't my life changing? Why aren't my habits going? Why aren't my sins falling off? Why do I feel burdened? Why do I feel pain? Why do things inside my heart weigh me down? You've just got a little dab of do ya, and it's not doing you. Just saying. It doesn't work that way. A little bit of Jesus is worse. Because you're thinking you have the full Jesus. We ask people all the time, here and overseas, do you know Jesus? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. I do know Jesus. And yet their habits have all control over their life. Other things are their main objects of worship. I usually go ahead and share with that person. Because they've got a little dab of do ya. You can tell. Because whatever habits have taken over their life, they think Jesus is helping them. And actually, he can't. They've separated themselves from the love of God. Some of you have been there. I've been there. Where we don't allow God to go as far as he wants to go. In us, with us, through us. We have a stop sign for God. We have a yield sign for God. Only we're saying to God, you yield. We should flip the sign, and we're the ones that yield. We have caution lights for God. Oh, slow down, God. You're coming into my intersection too fast. Slow it down. It's too much. These people have that smile on their face all the time. It's too much, God. Keep them back. Keep them back a little bit. Drives me crazy. Happy people, joyful people. How'd they get like that? They must be faking it. I bet at home they're not like that. A little dab doesn't do us if we want to be a conqueror, if we want God to be able to be fully on our side, to stand against anyone that would come against us, anything that could come against us. All these things listed here that could take us out without Jesus. When pressed, many people say, oh yeah, Jesus. Let's ask a harder question. Is your life fully committed to Him? Have you decided to take all the steps He wants you to take? Have you become baptized in His Holy Spirit? Because He wants to do that. Have you decided that you want to put your hand out to heal? Because He wants to do that through you. Have you decided that you want to be a vessel to put your hand out to help someone be delivered from all that might ache them on the inside, including demonic influence? He wants that for us. He wants to flow through us in that way. Well, I'm not trained, neither were the disciples. They went out to, He sent them out to minister. They came back and said, we didn't do so good. How do we pray? Jesus' training program is often the opposite of ours. We teach people how to pray. We have prayer meetings, prayer overnighters, prayer, what's the Friday night, what do we call that? Lighthouse prayer. I knew that. Just testing you. Lighthouse prayer. We have prayer for healing. Healing rooms. Prayer, 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 prayer. It's very good. All good. But Jesus sent them out to minister, and then they came back and said, we don't know how to pray. You're right. You don't. Now we'll start teaching you how to pray. They found out they had a need, and all of a sudden they were desperate to learn how to pray. When do you pray the most? When do I pray the most? When the heat's the hottest. When the oven's cooking. When things come against us with fire. Oh man, all of a sudden we have a close relationship with Jesus Christ. We are in His presence. We are after His heart. Lord, what is Your will? What do You want for me, for this person, for this situation? Come, Holy Spirit. When things are going well, we might kind of, you know, little dabble do you. Human nature. But God wants us to be more than conquerors. More. More than conquerors. When we enter the room, He wants the room atmosphere to change because He's inside of us. Dunamis, dynamite, Holy Spirit inside of us. Some people are experiencing that here. They enter the room, everything changes. The atmosphere in the room changes. The language changes. People start being nicer to one another in the room. A few people laugh. They giggle a little bit where they were just arguing a few minutes ago. You carry someone that's more than a conqueror inside of you. I carry someone that's more than a conqueror inside of me. When I'm standing up marrying someone like yesterday, I don't want it just to be ho-hum, drum-drum. I want something to happen supernaturally, not just a ceremony, for heaven's sakes. God got rid of most of the ceremonies. Have you noticed? He got rid of most of them. Or otherwise today we'd have a big altar up here and Troy would be bringing in his freezer, only it'd be walking on four legs. And we would be sacrificing up here. Haven't you seen God got rid of most of the ceremony? Why? It's about the heart now. Uh-oh. It's about the heart now. Uh-oh. No escaping. If you want God to be for you, not against you, you have to be for Him fully.
He can't move if you resist him, because he's put himself in a place of responding only to your desire and your will in his court. You can decide how much of the love of God you want. Some people go around, I wish God loved me. Why don't you love God a little bit? You'll experience his love. It's always there. It's always there. So what are we supposed to conquer if we become this conqueror? Conquer over what? Conquerors over whom? I'm a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Over what? Over whom? I know. Set up my own caliphate. Be bigger than evil ISIS. We'll have a good caliphate. Rule over people. Get out the swords. Get out the guns. I guess we have bigger things than that now. Get out the atomic missiles. Set up our own caliphate, spiritual caliphate. And then you read in the Bible, he's already going to do that. Physically, take territory. Eventually, he's going to burn over the earth. Needs a good burning, cleansing by fire. So he'll take care of that part. The physical warfare part. In the future, you can be sure of it. You might be called into commissioning. It's not about taking over a physical land, is it? Oh, I know. That enemy, that evil one, Satan. Satan. I'm supposed to conquer over Satan. You know that if we just grabbed the conquering that Jesus did over Satan, he would be the same less than powerful being that he was with Jesus. Couldn't trip him up. Couldn't fool him. Jesus has already defeated the enemy. So when we go after the enemy in someone's life or in our own life, it should be no battle whatsoever. Like squashing a baby mosquito and never missing. This is what the word says, Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That's the end. Under your feet, under my feet. Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That sounds like more than a conqueror. Kind of fits with the other verse. Is our experience different than that? It shouldn't be. How do we get there? We have to go after all of Jesus. All of Jesus. He that committeth sin, these are in the King James. Just wanted to feel a little Elizabethan today. 1 John 3:18, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. See how it sounds? It sounds even worse in the King James. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Guess who he uses to do that? Oh, angels. They're powerful. Come down and destroy the works. No, he uses you, uses me to destroy the works of the enemy. Are you being used to destroy the works of the enemy? Are you being used to destroy the works of... That's more than a conqueror. That's God being on your side. You can count on his ability, his power, his wisdom to defeat, to destroy, to destruct the works of the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Oh, he brings affliction. He brings things. But he's walking about as a roaring lion. But as the song says, he's just a toothless pussycat. When we're more than conquerors. And we ha 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 ha. And say he's done. When we're conquerors. Oh, well, that's not my experience. Well, how about, getting in there? Let it be your experience. Well, he's taken away this from me. He's taken away. You're more than a conqueror. God is on your side. Who can be against you? God is on your side. Who can be against you? As I get older, I'm sick of being less than a conqueror. I'm wanting more and more to be more of a conqueror. I've had enough battles that other things have won. The enemy has won. It's time for me to win more and more and more. And guess what? It's happening. I see it happening. More and more battles and quicker. He's accelerating the winds. See, nothing can stand against God. The only one that can is you and me. We have a will that he respects. He respects it so much, you can miss so much. Fortunately, he's merciful enough to come to us and woo us. He comes to us and wants to love us in. He doesn't just lay this out and never tries to woo us to it. That's his love expressed to us, wooing us constantly to deeper, higher, not just being a little bitty, young conqueror, but a mighty conqueror. One thing about the groom yesterday, I went in to pray for him and his father-in-law. They were dressing up in their tuxes. It was rainy at that time. So they were inside. Good idea. And Cameron was getting his hair ready. Some of you don't know Cameron, but if you just have this picture, he either looks like Samson or a dark-haired Fabio. Okay? And he's got like shoulder-length hair, tremendously handsome. And I thought, if we wanted a poster child, we're looking like a conqueror, we could just put him on our posters. Put his sword in his hand, he's got the flowing hair. And at the time, they were spraying hairspray on him to make sure every hair was in place. And then they did another round of it. So when I went to pray for him, I said, are you done with the hairspray? Yeah, I'm done with the hairspray. I said, well, you want a little lacquer the top of my head a little bit? It's raining outside. Might help. loosened him up a little bit. Grooms get a little tight. He was pacing everything else till we prayed. So, but I think he really envies me because all I have to do is get up. That's it. Ready for the day. Oh, Lord, we bless Cameron and Beth, Father, as they start their new life together, Lord. And may they just have a great time in the Bahamas. But we are more than conquerors here in Ohio. So what's the biggest battle we have to face? Ourselves, our own heart. Do you know you start out with a deceitful and wicked heart? You liar. You wicked, evil one. Got good news for you, though. When you receive Jesus in, and you receive him fully in to be your Savior and Lord, he comes in and he cleanses your heart. He cleanses your heart. Your spirit is made alive. You know your spirit never sins? Your spirit never sins. Your spirit never sins. Your spirit. Isn't that good news? He's made it alive. So it's the flesh that's our problem. Mind, will, emotions, which is our soul. Our body cries out, I'm tired, I'm hurting, getting old. But we don't have a deceitful and wicked heart anymore because Jesus transformed that part of us. All we have to do is listen to our spirit that's made alive. Listen to the Spirit. How many times have we said it? Follow the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you're led by the Spirit of God, you're the sons of God. We've said it thousands of times here. Why? It's the key to becoming more than a conqueror. If you listen to the other parts inside of you, if they rule, emotions, for instance, if they rule, you're going to have a whole different headset on when you're trying to hear the Spirit of God. You're going to have a grid that doesn't work if it comes through your emotions. And you hear the Spirit of God through your emotions, it won't sound like the same Spirit of God. I guarantee it. Some of us have dreams, visions, pictures, words, smells that we smell from heaven. Do you know that if those go through the wrong grid, they will be the wrong message to your spirit? Your spirit will be like, no, that's not it. That interpretation's not it. You're interpreting that dream through your emotions. You're interpreting that dream through your own desires. You're interpreting that vision through something other than me. Please, let me help you with that. I've been made alive by Jesus, and I can respond to the Spirit of God purely. And I can hear the Spirit of God correctly, accurately. It says in Proverbs 4:23 that guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Issues of life, everything in our life has to do with our heart responding correctly to the Spirit of God and that renewed spirit inside of us. Those two should be intertwined. Our spirit and the Spirit of God. Oh, well, that sounds like, you know, woo, 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 woo. You ought to try a little woo, woo. It's better than dab-a-doo. Tell you that. Because when you do that, let me give you an example. We were going to go to Indonesia this month. I wanted to go. I was waiting to go all year long because I didn't go in the spring. And God said, you know, I thought he was saying, you know, it'll be in September. So I kind of started leaning that direction. Neltari was going over there, special 50th anniversary of the Indonesian revival. He invited us to go. Hey, leaning. Wow, this sounds great. And we have other contacts in Asia that we can minister there. This is awesome. And as it got closer and closer to the time, we were asking for a little more information. And it wasn't coming forth. He didn't have it to give to us on that piece of the trip. Well, I'd like to start with that as the centerpiece, the 50th anniversary, and then go from there to the other contacts in Asia. Many of them saying, when are you coming? When are you coming? When are you coming? We'd like to see you come. We'd like to see you come. I'd like to come. I want to come. Pastor Mary Pat wanted to go. We all want to come. I'm in the shower recently, trying to figure out whether we should go or not. But I wasn't thinking about it in the shower. It was in the season of wondering if we should go. In the shower, and I see a picture. Square peg, round hole. Square peg, round hole. And I go, before I could get out the question, what's this about, God? He says, this is about Indonesia. Square peg, round hole. You can see he doesn't make things real complicated for me. I appreciate that very much. I used to be an elementary teacher. Does that help? Square peg, round hole. So this is about Indonesia. So I wake up, or not wake up, I get out of the shower. Pastor Mary Pat had been up during the night. And so she got up a little bit later. She got up and I said, hey, I've got something in the shower about Indonesia. She says, what was it? Okay. She wants to hear. Okay. She said, I had something last night in the middle of the night. So that, you know, the plot thickens. The tension in the room is there because what? If we heard two different things from the Spirit of God, we're supposed to be the leaders of an international ministry that's about as big as an acorn. But, you know, we're these powerful. What if we're different? Oh, my. What are we going to? So I said, I'll give mine first. Square peg, round hole. Powerful, you know. Felt like, you know, more than a conqueror. Square peg, round. I tried to, you know, square peg, round hole. And she said, that's it. I heard we weren't supposed to go. And I said, that's what I got too. Our marriage was saved. Our ministry was saved. All was saved by the glory of God. Square peg, round hole. That's all you need when you're more than a conqueror. So as I went through that day, I got a second chapter, which often happens. When he's speaking, he sometimes gives you a second chapter. I don't know about you. I need second chapters. So the second chapter was square peg, square hole. This is about Ghana. We're planning a trip to Ghana in November. Now, even I can get this. So I continued through those 2 days just to bring it before the Lord, which is my normal thing. I ask him, are you sure? I mean, make this thing fade if I came up with this simple picture. It's so simple, God, that, you know, maybe I created it in the shower. You know, so please make it clear. And it just kept coming with the same strength, the same intensity. I would be doing other things. I wasn't sitting there going, God, show me. Is it? I was just going through my day, and he would just bring it to me. Square peg, round hole, square peg, square hole. You know, both chapters. So we told Miltari we're not going to Indonesia. He said, oh, blessings on you. We'll get there again. Blah, blah, blah. And then Pastor Mary Pat's mother started going downhill. This wedding became much more than we had anticipated. And a number of things came in. And we would have been leaving this coming Tuesday or Wednesday. And so the funeral is tomorrow from my mother-in-law.
And you can see that we'd still want to be around with the family after that, make sure Pops is okay. He's 91. And it's just so awesome how God knew. God knew. And he took care of it. So you see, being more than a conqueror can be pretty simple. You don't have to put on extra armor, you know, in the sense of, I'm just going to get tougher and be meaner to people. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It's all in the Spirit. And you can hear things from God clearly, and they even match with your husband or wife. Wow. That's amazing. You're two different people coming from two different sides, and he puts you on Holy Spirit's page. But these issues of the heart, if I wanted to go to Indonesia to be the big whatever, evangelist, ministry leader, whatever, I'm going, God, I don't care what the obstacles are, blah, blah, blah. That wouldn't be too good because I'd end up less than a conqueror. The atmosphere over there wouldn't change when I walked in the room or whatever, you know, because God couldn't back that up. Not the way he wants to do that in us. Now, he's gracious, even in our mistakes. Oftentimes, his mercy and grace is there. And he does some amazing things through us when we're not at our best. He makes up the difference. Jesus does. But why not be more accurate with our walk with him? Why not draw in so close to Jesus that we can hear simple things from God and they tell us the future? Why not? I want that for each of you. We don't just meet here so I can speak and you say, wow, that was a good or not so good message. That's not what this is about. It's about your life being transformed. It's about your life becoming more than a conqueror. It's about you tapping into God being for you, not against you. And it's not obviously just for your own pleasures, your own preferences, but it's for your mission that God has you on. That's what I want. So we put up the surrender flag at salvation for Jesus to conquer our hearts. I surrender, God. But that's not the end, because he still has to take territory in our hearts. We have to submit that territory over our entire life to him. We say, you've conquered me, God, but now we're going to let you secure and occupy the territory of my heart, and that will take the rest of my life, submitting to you, wanting to submit to him, having a desire to submit to him, seeing it's best to submit to him. And it allows the Holy Spirit, through our submission, to supernaturally sanctify us. We become more and more holy before God. We become more and more powerful. Someone to be reckoned with. You won't have to go around saying, I'm more than a conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. People will start saying to you, you're anointed by God. You give out life everywhere you go. You're powerful in the Spirit. When you speak, something happens inside of me. When you pray over me, something gets healed inside of me, emotionally, physically, my past. They'll say it to you. And you take that and know that's the Spirit of God. I'm more and more connected with the Spirit of God. He has more of my heart. That's what's going on here. It's not so we can strut our stuff. There's nothing to strut. He's the one that does it all inside of us. So if I could get this across today, this is the key point, I think. When you hear these words, faith, love, peace, hope, honor, forgiveness, humility, joy, freedom, gentleness, and many other words out of the scriptures, these are not just feelings. These are not just character traits, which I heard so much in my early Christian life, many of these things. Character traits.
character traits. And so I worked on my character. I worked on my character. And I tell you something, it didn't work. I worked on it, and it wasn't going anywhere. I mean, it might be a little nicer, or a little less this or that, or a little more this or that. Not a whole lot. I was like, everybody I knew, every study I knew, had a work on your character study.
The problem was, what I'm going to tell you is this. These are substance. Not character traits. There's spiritual substance inside of us that can only be activated by the Holy Spirit. So there are literally thousands of churches in our country this morning talking about something having to do with improving your character. And people go out, I'll try harder. I'm going to work on that character. I know I have anger, and I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit having anger. I'm going to quit having anger. I'm tired of having anger. And it might work a little bit because they work on an area. And someone says, wow, you're doing a little better with the anger. And about 2 weeks later, you're not doing so well with the anger. It doesn't last. It doesn't go deep. To be more than a conqueror, to have God really know that God's really for you, experience it. You can read it and say, yes, God is for me. But to experience God being for you, carrying you, moving in you, working in you deeply, you need to see that these things are substance activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. For instance, let's just take a negative, fear. How is that conquered? How do we conquer fear inside of our heart? We have to have, let's just say, faith. Faith and love working together conquers fear, right? 1 John 4:18. Anyone know what that says? Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love. Who has perfect love? Where's the hands? Just come on. Go ahead. Perfect. Oh, no one. Okay, so God's the only one that has perfect love. That love, you have to believe that he perfectly loves you. That's faith. Those two working together, fear starts to go out of your life. I love that. It's because faith and love are substance. They're Holy Spirit substance inside of our hearts, ready to be activated because our spirit's alive. And it will respond if we'll just give our spirit permission. Our spirit doesn't say no. It's our flesh. It's our will that comes in and says, no, spirit, you won't take charge here. I have a better idea. Let's listen to the emotions. So I will fear because emotions cause an openness to fear. Ever noticed? When you actually have fear physically, what happens? Don't your emotions go a little crazy? Someone smashes a car in front of you as you're driving, and you go, that was almost me. Jesus, help them. Our emotions, they get involved, right? They get going. That's not the fear we're talking about. I don't want, a car to smash in front of me and go, that's justice all in a day's work. That didn't bother me. You just go crashing cars in front of me all the time. It's not going to bother me. Tell you one thing. You didn't get to me. I pray for them, kind of, because I don't think anything's wrong there, because I'm not in fear about them. Has there even been anything wrong there? Or whatever. No, that's not what we're talking about. You're going to have fearful reactions to fearful circumstances for a short time in the physical. We're talking about fear that runs your life. There's always something going to happen 2 minutes from now that's going to cause you pain, cause you grief. Worried about the future. Worried about, what if I do this and this doesn't work out, and I know God doesn't love me enough to come in and rescue that. There's a lot of faith involved in the love being able to cast out fear in our lives. Our question often is to people that are in fear over a situation or something happening in their lives. So, have you brought Holy Spirit into this? He's the one that activates the substance of love and faith to the degree that gets rid of fear. Fear that can completely take you away from the presence of God. You won't think that He loves you if you're in fear and stay in fear. You'll believe He doesn't love you enough. Let me set the record straight. God loves you. He gave His very Son for you. He loves you. You can't make Him not love you. He comes after you. If you make a choice to go somewhere other than His presence after you die, He still loves you. He wanted you to come and be with Him. That was a little harsh. He wanted you to come and be with Him. And thank God you know that as a fact. That Holy Spirit can make you more than a conqueror with the fact, because He provides the substance to activate it, to make it real in your life. I'll go through these quickly. Maybe you'll see what I mean. Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace gets rid of troubled hearts. Peace gets rid of worry, fretting, doom, and gloom. Now, by the way, these are not categories that don't move within one another. You need faith and love in the peace. You know, you get the idea. I'm just giving you a little bit of an example of how just talking about peace with a troubled heart, you don't have to have a troubled heart, continue to have a trouble. You are not a victim ever when you're a believer. Ever. Because plan A is still plan A if bad things happen in God's heart. There is no plan B for you. That should be comforting. Some of you look troubled. That's a comforting thing. No plan B. Sorry, maybe I should do it with a smile. There is no plan B for you. Only plan A. Ever. If you, get to the heart of God, you'll believe it. It's true, but you have to believe it. He can weave in your worst mistakes. Some of you have some mistakes, and you go, oh man, I wouldn't bring that up to anybody because that was a bad one. God already knows it, already weaved it in, already accounted for your stupidity, as Larry Randolph says. He already knew we were going to be stupid. He knew Adam and Eve were going to be stupid. He still searched for them in the garden, knowing they wouldn't come to Him. Why didn't He just say, I already know they're not coming to me, so I'm not going to go searching for them. Why waste my time as God? He went searching for them. Why? He loves them. He loved them. He wanted to show them something. He wanted to not just leave them in their misery, but take them out of their misery. He had to show how much He would come after them, even though he knew they wouldn't come after Him. Hope. you have rejection, struggle with no purpose, have a lack of direction, low self-esteem, inferiority, number of other things, you need hope. But hope is a substance. It's the Holy Spirit that activates hope. He is hope. You know, in one sense, they activate hope, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In another sense, they are the very thing they're activating. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is that just so we can have a nice little phrase we all know? Or is he supposed to be the hope substance that changes everything when we don't have hope, when we feel rejected, no one really wants to be around us? We feel inferior. I could never be what that person is. And I say, praise God, you don't want to be. You want to be who you are in Jesus, fully by the power of the Holy Spirit, not just who you are. I see it on Facebook a lot. I just don't understand why people don't accept me for who I am. Who I am. Who I am. And I go, why don't you let Jesus accept you, and then he'll change you so that you don't get on Facebook and say, who I am, who I am. You'll say, who he is, and it won't be about I. That would be great. I love Facebook posts. Don't get me wrong. Love to hear the insight people's hearts. They share their hearts on Facebook. Do you know that? Their hearts and their faces. Lots of faces. And sometimes, they share their hearts even when they don't know they're sharing their hearts. And you can pray for them. You can kind of see it. Really, you can read it with discernment. Not judgment, discernment. But with discernment, you can pray for the person. Oh my, this person's struggling. I can kind of discern that they need a little bit more hope, or they need a little bit more peace, a little bit more love in their life. Maybe I can be used. God, show me. Help me. Honor. Jealousy. Envy. You know what takes care of that in my thought? Obviously, all these things mix together, but honor. You cannot be jealous of someone you're honoring. If you're fully honoring with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't be jealous of them. You can't envy them. So, when Cameron yesterday had to do the whole do thing, and he was looking at my head and thought, boy, that would have been simple, and he was envying, If he would have just honored me for who I am. And Michael Kiagaba, looks at these guns and says, gee, I only can hope. No, he just needs to honor just a little bit more. Accusation, negative reports, libel, slander, gossip, judgment. You can't judge someone if you're receiving the substance from the Holy Spirit activation of honor. You can't judge someone. You want the best for them. Even if you see something by discernment that you would like to see changed in them, you love them. You want them to reach that new level in God. You don't want to just go around saying, this person, yeah, I'm much better than that. And try to raise yourself up through judgment. Discernment, godly discernment, puts you in a lower place because you're trying to help. How can I help this person? Not for so they relate better to me, so they are closer to being more than a conqueror with God. It's not unlike in the natural sense. I became an elementary teacher, a teacher. I heard teachers say the craziest things about their profession. If I get a master's, I'll get more money. You should get a master's. You'd get more money. He said, I'm going overseas on mission trips. I have time to go get a master's. Yeah, but you'll get more money. And I kept thinking, what about the children? What about their hearts? What about getting to be a better teacher so I can teach better? That's not what getting a master's is about, apparently. So I'm not so sad that I didn't get one. Not everyone feels that way. Praise the Lord. But, man, it's not about what you get on the paycheck. If it was that, you wouldn't be teaching. You'd be doing something else. Forgiveness. What does that solve? Unforgiveness. Bitterness inside of us. Offense. Resentment. You know, if you walk around in offense against other people, against leadership here, against someone in the body here, you can't make a good decision. At least a series of good decisions. God might be merciful and allow you a few good decisions, but definitely not a series of decisions, a pathway of decisions. If you're in offense, you'll find out that people's lives, they might even start out saying, I'm going after this for God, and I still like you people. I still love you. And they're on their path. And then all of a sudden, you know, they crash over here on the side somewhere. They get off the center part of God. Because you cannot stay in offense and hear the Holy Spirit clearly. You're offending the Holy Spirit when you're in offense with a brother or sister for a period of time. So unless that's cured, can't make a series of good decisions. Definitely not a lifetime of good decisions. It's just impossible. That's what one of the themes of the book of Proverbs is all about. Don't be an offense. It won't be on track. Humility. What does humility, as a substance activated by the Holy Spirit, what does it cure? In us, arrogance, independence, independent spirit, pride, control, when we're not teachable, when we're stiff-necked against God. There are plenty of people around with all the answers. If you spend a little time with them, they'll tell you what's up. What's up with frontline? What's up with the country? What's up with the president? What's up with the ones running for president? I'm telling you, square peg, round hole works better. God can give you more wisdom over some simple, foolish, little picture than a person with their bravado. So let's let humility be activated inside of us. When you think of Jesus, his submission to the Father, when he's equal with the Father. Yesterday in the marriage ceremony, when, you know, I read over Ephesians 5, 21 through the end of the chapter. Wives, be submissive to your husbands. But in verse 21, it says, everyone's supposed to be submissive to one another. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wow, he died for the church. I guess the wives don't have the most hard part. Both do. Oh, they're impossible. Both roles are impossible. They're both impossible. You can't do them. Unless Holy Spirit activates the substance in you to be able to submit as the wife like Jesus submitted to his Father. Equal with the Father, submitted to the Father. What's that look like? That's going to take wisdom of the Holy Spirit, power of the Holy Spirit, all these things activated as substance inside of us to be more than conquerors in a marriage. Husbands, loving your wives as Christ loved the church. Loving your wives as you love your own body. Now, Cameron will forgive me, but I mean, when he was doing the hair, looked great.
You want to look good for that bride. You know, he's the picture of Jesus, so don't think I'm just making fun of him. Making himself ready to come for us. Willing to sacrifice.
Like he would care for his own body, cares for his wife. Wow. Those things are impossible unless they're activated as we become more than conquerors by the Holy Spirit. You see what people are missing? You think the world's having a great time? You want to join the world? They're not having a great time. They can't do these things. Oh, I want to get married in the church. I'm an unbeliever. I want to get married in the church. That would make it better somehow. So you get married in the church. What are you looking for? A little bit more dab-a-doo from God? Why get married in the church? The building doesn't sanctify you. Coming before two or one pastor doing the ceremony doesn't, you know, get you right before God. They're missing the key part. And that is Jesus inside to activate real love. Not just the gushy-wushy, not just the heebie-jeebies, but sacrificial love inside of us. None of us can fulfill any of the things in this book without the power of the Holy Spirit activating these substances inside of us. And guess what? I see him doing it in many of you. This isn't a doom and gloom. This is a, let's celebrate. I see him doing it in many of you. Some of you, you're feeling like you're at zero or one, and God is saying, oh no, I'm proud of you. I see progress. I see 50, 51% out of 1,000. Yeah, come on. The same for me. But you know what? If you're going for his heart with your heart, he makes up all the difference. That's the cool thing. When you get to heaven and you go in and you're maybe still, I don't know, have a feeling from the past as you enter into his presence, I don't know. Will it be fear and trepidation, or will you have absolute joy in his presence? Hopefully absolute joy in his presence. I don't think he's going to say to you, we got a little bit of talking to do before I invite you in to my presence. Got a little, you know, 200 or 300 years of talking over your life. I know it was only 80 or 90, but it's going to take me 300 years to explain to you where you went off track. It's not what it says. This is welcome. Good and faithful servant. If you're waiting for the movie to be played in heaven of all your junk, forget it. Not going to happen. When you make it there, it's by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ covers you. He makes up all the difference. It's going to be, welcome, good and faithful servant. Well, wait a minute. He'll say that to some people, right? And others he won't. If you made it there, I believe he'll say, welcome, good and faithful servant. Now, he knows how faithful, and he will reward accordingly, apparently. So, you know, like Rachel Koblenz, we'll all be going up to her castle, you know, and the rest of us will be in, you know, smaller places, but that's okay. You know, she'll open the doors to us. I know it. She's very gracious. That's how she got that castle in the first place. He's going to say, I believe, welcome, number one, and then good and faithful servant. And you're going to be, really? Awesome. I think with a glorified body, you'll have a good response. So don't try to think up your, you know, your response now. Like, what am I going to say when he says good and welcome? If he does say, you know,
faithful servant. What am I going to say to that?
You'll be in a glorified body, so maybe you'll have a glorified mind, and your mind will come up with something pleasing to the Lord. We'll count on that. Yes, Lord. So hearts need to be conquered. He's all about it. You think of joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8:10. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever, Psalm 16:11. What does joy take out of us? When it's full out, God joy, not something that we come up with. You know, like there's a commercial where the guy starts to laugh. He's an actor, and he knows how to laugh, and he knows how to cry, and he does both in the commercial. That shouldn't be our life. The joy should come from a spring so deep inside through the Holy Spirit. It's real joy. And when that joy comes out, it changes lives. It's not just for our own kicks and giggles. It changes lives, the joy that comes out of us. What does that take care of? Well, you can't be angry and have joy. You can't be sad and have joy. You can't be in despair and have joy. You can't be lonely and have joy. You can't be, despondent and have joy, depressed and have joy. Without joy, you might be weak because it says it gives you strength. Joy is a person, it's Jesus, and it's substance, activated by the Holy Spirit. I have experienced more joy in the last 10 years than any time in my life, and these have been some of the most challenging years. Not the most challenging, but they've been very challenging, life and ministry. And yet there's been more joy. The joy has been on the increase. Challenge has been on the increase. New kinds of challenges from when I had, you know, the most difficult time of my life. These have been new challenges, but the joy has increased. And even in that, the greatest trial of my life, joy increased as I went through that trial. Can I say, wow, you're quite the guy, Bill. You increased your joy in a trial. I found out then you don't have enough joy of your own to do that. You have a drop. He has an ocean. You might be able to tap into joy for like 1.8 seconds with your amount of joy. With his joy, you can go a lifetime. You can have any hurt healed. Any situation, you'll see his hand, his finger come into it. Even the most difficult situations, you'll see his finger come in and stir things up, move things, change hearts. You start to expect it. Judges saying things they would never say unless God got a hold of their tongue. Policemen saying things. You've definitely done 5 things wrong, I had a policeman tell me one time. Pulled up beside my van with 5 kids in it that were ready for me to get a ticket. They were so joyous. They couldn't wait till the guy gave me the ticket, you know. And then they could just tease me for the rest of my life. And I believe he said, you've done 5 things wrong and you've only gone 200 yards. And I was like, wow. I'm a little off tonight. What can I say? I've got 5 kids in the van. No, I didn't make any excuses. I said, okay. And he said, but I'm not going to give you a ticket. And these kids were like, oh, and I was like, yes, Jesus. The same thing happened the next week. I was on the way to church. I was in a zone. I didn't know I was in a zone, and I was kind of hurrying, and I had 5 kids in the van. And another policeman pulls me over, but as I look in my rearview mirror, he's pulling up his pants as he walks towards my window, like, gotcha. I'm looking in the rearview mirror. The kids are all looking at him, too, because they're looking out the windows of the van. He walks up to the window. I'm not going to give you a ticket this. Oh, they all. Oh. I didn't get a ticket the whole time that I was, you know, had those 5 children. I love that.
God's gracious, merciful in my time of need. He activates his Holy Spirit to make me more than a conqueror, even over earthly authorities. Freedom. You need freedom, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You have to cast your care on him. Don't carry your own care. Don't carry your own care. Don't carry your own care. Cast it on him. He said so. You think you're more humble if you carry your own care? You're not. You're disobedient. I'll be talking with some of you after the service. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 talks about his yoke is easy, his burden is light. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. His light burden is on him, that's why. A yoke goes across two cattle. You're one of the cattle. He's the other cattle. He takes all the heavy yoke on his side. Why would you want to hold on to that yoke? Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Cast, 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 cast all your care. So you aren't casting enough. You have more joy if you cast. You can laugh in the craziest of moments when things aren't going well at all. And you're laughing. You're in joy because the joy of the Holy Spirit springs up as you're casting. As you're putting more burden on God, you're becoming less burdened and more free. Freedom's a great thing. I recommend it. Takes care of burdens, sins, habits. If you feel condemned, there's no condemnation in the Lord Jesus Christ according to Romans 8:1. No condemnation. No condemnation. So if you're feeling condemnation after realizing a sin you've done or realizing a mistake you've done, that condemnation is not supposed to stay with you. It's supposed to be cast on him. Let your burden be light. He wants everything cast on him so you can be free. That's his plan. That's what he says. If you're rather religious, everything you see, it's just too much. You know, worship with, they go off the page. They don't stay with the song. Sometimes someone just doesn't sing at all up there. Shouldn't they be singing and stay with the song? Wait, if you feel like that, something like that, things bother you that happen when the Spirit is moving free, what's that person on the floor for? Why did they fall down? I have never been to a church like this. Then you might want to get a little bit more freedom activated from the Holy Spirit. Because if you read the Bible, people fell down as if dead in the presence of the Lord. So if we don't believe the presence of the Lord is anywhere near here, why are we having church? Let's just go have a nice Sunday like a whole bunch of other people out there and not, draw into the presence of the Lord. If it's not real, if it doesn't affect us in any way. Of course it should. Of course it should. Sometimes it makes us as fools. We're up here, coating the carpet with our tears. But that's also humility. It's good for us. All these things where God affects us. His substance shakes us, affects us in some way. That doesn't mean that everyone has to come in next Sunday or Tuesday night for fire and wind and everyone just starts shaking around here. No, it's as he decides to move inside of you and you cooperate with it. If you feel you're not cooperating with it, that's a problem for you. If you cooperate with it and let it take you where it's going to take you, it will heal. It will do deep things in you that you can't do yourself working on your character. Not a bad thing to want to be honest, but don't pride yourself in being honest. You will face a situation. You will need the absolute wisdom of the Holy Spirit to even be honest because you don't know what honesty looks like in that situation. It's so hard to know. He'll give you the wisdom. None of us can pride ourselves in not being liars. We all are. Still. But he'll show us more and more how not to lie, even in small things. And he's already forgiven it. but he deserves the praise for that. We shouldn't take advantage of it. So you're either a conqueror or you're conquered by life, feelings, all these negative things I've mentioned. You're either overwhelmed or you're an overcomer. I'm seeing some growing overcomers. I love it. I'm growing as an overcomer. I love that even more. I want to lead you as the overcomer. So go ahead. Do better than I do. I'll have to go even more. And then you'll go more. And then I'll go more. Glory to glory. To please the Lord Jesus, not so we look good, but just we're going after his heart. We're going after his heart more, more, sacrificing more, giving more, dying more to ourselves. Go ahead. Outdistance me. And I'll try to outdistance you as you go after Jesus. But in a good way, not in a competition. Just because we both want to please him. Philippians 4:13, I can either do all things in Christ or not. A little dabble do you will not allow you to be strengthened by Jesus to do all things. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's only true if you let him activate these things inside of you and me to make us more than conquerors. Christ is the one who strengthens us. It says so in the verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not just a phrase. It's the substance part. He needs to add what we need in order to go further, farther, forward. We must intentionally receive his strengthening. Just because the verse is there and it's true, it means we have to intentionally allow him to strengthen us. We have to decide to allow him to strengthen us. Many people say, well, I would change my lifestyle if I, you know, was strengthened like that verse says. Like God is going, you know, I decided not to strengthen you today. It's not the day of strengthening for you. No, we're the problem. Let's just make it clear. God is never the problem. We are. That's right. Amen. She knows. Naomi knows. You can never say you're a victim. But somebody just stole my laptop. Yeah. Are you a victim? Don't wait for me to answer. I've known missionaries in Africa, they had their land stolen, they got better land. This ministry is one of them. I'll give you a little quick story. Gonna have to be quick. In Ghana, Africa, it's like the Wild West. We've had land in the south since the end of the 90s, I think, or right after that. We got some land. It was in the early 2000s. We got some land in the south. We have a contact there, Pastor Samuel, and he said, oh, you ought to get the land. Near my house, near my land, because I have land and you should get land and it'll be good because we're working together. Okay. All right. So we purchased land. Then we went to see the land. You go to see the land. He says, oh, good land. So we go see the land. There's no topsoil on the land. What happened to the topsoil? Oh, they take the topsoil. What? They take the topsoil. This looks like rock. This is the land. It's very good land. You take my word for it. Okay. At the end of the land, there's like a, you know, when rainy season, there's like a pond. But during the dry season, it's not like that. Okay. During the dry season, it's not like that. So we, you know, have all these wonderful plans about building on the land and everything else. Well, first you have to secure the land. So you need to put a
a fence around the whole land. What's a fence look like? Block. Block. Around the whole land. Yes. And that will secure it. So we started on that project. And then it would be good to put up a guardhouse, or it would be good to put up a building, because unless you have a building up, then someone can come and steal the land. So we're in the middle of trying to do, you know, put the block up, get a building. It's clear on another continent. That will save the land. Well, what about starting the paperwork? Oh, yes, but it takes a long time, long time. So we start the paperwork. So people in the middle of the night will come and start building on your land in the middle of the night. And if they get it up to so high, the windowsill level, they suddenly own the land. A few other details probably, but basically that's it. If they can get up to the windowsill level, they have first dibs on the land if you have not put something on the land. And we were putting a block around the land, which was expensive enough. You would think it'd be cheap in Africa. It doesn't seem to be so cheap to me. And we're trying to get the paperwork done. The guy with the paperwork dies. They cannot find the paperwork now. He died. The guy died. No paperwork. You started paperwork. You paid for paperwork. The guy dies. No paperwork. No one can find the paperwork. So eventually, it's found out that part of the family sold the land to someone else without telling the chief, who is really the one that should sell the land. Family members just sell it double. They know someone owns the land. They know someone's trying to work on getting the land right. And a family member just comes and says, I can sell you the land. Does anyone own it? No. Has anyone gotten paperwork on it? No. Part of it's true. We kind of own it because we bought it. But that's not enough. We didn't build up to windowsill level. So eventually, the chief gets involved, gives us another piece of land. This land has topsoil. This land is in an area where other people are building. Westerners, nice piece of land. Not the water problems, not the problems. So we think, we're going to get a guardhouse on it. So we get a guardhouse on it. We're going to hopefully get some block around it and so on. Well, this land is prime land, so many people try to build in the middle of the night, and they keep running them off. They keep breaking down the bricks before they reach up to the certain height that's the legal height, blah, 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 blah. Eventually, someone does it. And then you can't find the family members. And, of course, another family member sold it. The chief didn't know, and he suddenly disappears, and you barely can get anything started on the paperwork, blah, 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 blah. So we thought, well, Pastor Samuel said, you are here in Ghana. Let's go to the police. Maybe they can check into it. They can investigate. Okay, we'll try that. So we went to the police. Very nice, but like 40 desks in a room, piled high with actual paperwork. And I thought, I really wonder whether this is going to be any help. And so they take off, you know, the file of the paperwork they had on the land. And yes, we will check into it. He went out to the land, tried to find the owners. No, they're not around. Tried to find the builders. Oh, they're not around. They're coming. So that didn't work. Recently, the chief got involved, very embarrassed, that two pieces of land have been taken over that he was responsible kind of for, and gave us a better piece of land. Now, this piece of land has some water beside it that actually isn't part of the land, but is next to the land, and it's a nice body of water, and they don't value water, like, you know, scenic, as it's scenic. But this land is more scenic. And so we keep getting upgraded even though we're losing. Who's doing that? This whole thing came down to you're not going to get anything back, basically. The second land was the last one you had a chance on. God rescued it out of the fire. The chief suddenly got a heart and said, I'm going to solve this. I'm embarrassed. I'm going to give you this piece of land by water. And so now we're starting the paperwork. We're starting to see if we can build something out of quicker than the other people. We're going to be quicker. We're going to speed up. Father, we thank you, Lord. We are not victims. We're not orphans. We're your sons and daughters. We can activate through the power of the Holy Spirit all these amazing things as the fruit of the Spirit inside of us and other qualities inside of us by coming to you and receiving from you. Father, we want to do more than just work on our character. We want to receive the power that you have to change our character. Thank you for saving us. Those of us that have called on the name of Jesus and invited you in, thank you for coming in, Holy Spirit, because now we can have the power to activate all these qualities of substance inside of us to change the world. Change our lives, change our families, change our generations. End whatever hold the enemy has had on our families. We're the new pioneers. We are the seals, Father, willing to do what you show us to do as the mission, the strategic mission in the kingdom. Thank you, Father. You're so good to activate these things in our lives so we can be more than conquerors. We truly can allow you to be on our side because we'll be cooperating with you fully. We'll partner with you fully. And you'll do things in us and do things on our behalf, even on another continent that we have so little control over. Yet you can move the king's heart like a channel of water. And God, we just want to watch you do it more and more and more and more, because we are your servants. We are your sons and daughters. We believe you want to work in us to make us more than conquerors. We bless your name. We praise you. We honor you with all that we are. God, show us more in Jesus' name. Amen.